Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week:
if we gave you a magic wand, what would you change about yourself to be a better version of yourself? What feelings would you make go away? What behaviours would you stop doing? So straight away, we're putting them in charge.
We've got to create that platform, haven't we? To give young people the ability to see their value within the real world.
So, you know, we say focus on the small stuff, because getting amazing at resilience in the small stuff and choosing different is then when the big stuff happens, you're more equipped.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. Thank you for downloading and streaming the podcast. My name is Mick. We've had a little short break from the podcast feed at the moment. I've had a really, really busy time with the day job in terms of some really big projects. If you check out my social media feed, I did a really important project alongside organisations like the Internet Watch Foundation and the NSPCC and some other great groups as well, including social media experts, Jess Chalmers, the National Police Chiefs Council, about young people, particularly young boys, being groomed online and tricked into sending nude pictures, which are then used to blackmail. So there's been this really worrying increase in teenage blackmail. So I've done a big project for radio stations across the UK around that, and it's been really warmly received. So if you check out social media, you'll see more about that online blackmail story. If you've got kids, particularly kids of teenage years, it's the stuff you need to know about, because it's the stuff that's going on inside their heads, and it's the stuff that's going on their phones as well, but targeted particularly towards teenage boys, which you might be surprised about. So that was a really big project, which is why I've had to put the podcast just a little bit on the back burner, but back now following the Easter break as well, and some fantastic conversations to come. As ever, my email address is in the podcast notes, so if you want to nominate someone for the podcast, or there's a great guest you want to speak to, maybe it's yourself, absolutely drop me an email. More than happy to hear from you, and fingers crossed we can get you booked in for an upcoming episode. My guest this week is Nicole Antonio. Now, Nicole is a brilliant speaker, and she is the CEO of Butterfly Squad. Now, the mission of Butterfly Squad is to basically give kids the ability to understand their thoughts and their emotions and use that ability to then apply it to things that come at them in everyday life. Now, the way that they work through Butterfly Squad, as well as going into schools and talking through the theory of it, there's also a 16-part animated series as well, which has just been launched, which basically tells those stories in individual sort of bite-sized episodes. It's a really interesting idea, but it's specifically targeted to young people with the campaign idea that no kid will get left behind. Hashtag no kid left behind. You can use that one on social media when you're talking about Butterfly Squad. There's a website for it where you can find out more information, butterflysquad.rocks, and you can check out the social media at Butterfly Squad Rocks. And I'd urge you to do that if you've got young children or you want to find out more about things like this, because more and more children are facing difficult childhood issues, but they're also heading out into the world where the world can be a difficult place. And is your child equipped? Is your child ready to deal with that? You like to think yes, but are there skills and tricks that they can use to get themselves on the front foot? So it's not just about surviving, it can be about thriving as well. There's lots in this conversation in terms of Nicole's own story, the experience of her family as well. But I think it's just a really fascinating idea, and we wish her all the best with the campaign and with the project. Nicole Antonio, our guest on Mental Health Monday. She started off by talking about where the Butterfly Squad came from.
Yeah, so I am the proud owner of two beautiful young ladies, both grown now, to be fair. I mean, my youngest is off to uni this year. But my eldest, she was extremely shy, so uncomfortable in her own skin. School was an ordeal, you know, anything, talking, going to parties, sleep, anything. She was just stuck to me like a bit of glue. And I was on my own personal development journey at the time, and I started to implement some tools and techniques with her. And her headmaster called me in and was like, what have you done with this child? She is completely different. So for me, the light bulb moment went on then, and I thought, I'm going to write something for children. At that time, I had no idea what that looked like. And I asked her headmaster at that time, said, can I come in and run a pilot project and just, you know, start to develop something? And he was like, yeah, sure. So that's pretty much where my journey started. And I got given small groups of children, and we'd sit and we'd chat. But there was nothing formulated at that time. And then, you know, fast forward a little bit, it became a formulated lesson by lesson, and they'd go away and be able to use those tools and techniques that we was implementing and basically putting them in charge of their own choices, actions, reactions and feelings. And I was an outsource for a while, boots on the ground, butterfly lady, and off I'd go and basically taught thousands of children how to be the best version of themselves, whatever that looked like for them. And then the pandemic happened and I was like, I really want to, you know, keep getting this work out there. And I met this guy as we had a really busy summer camp, and he said, like, turn it into an animation. And I was like, okay. And that's where that journey became to what it is now, this 16 episode animated formula for kids.
So you're going to have to tell us then, Nick, what was it? What were those things that you were doing? Was it about confidence? Was it about self-belief? What were those things that you were sort of instilling into the children? It sounds like you're almost empowering them to sort of feel more confident and maybe get a sense of their own place within the world.
Yeah, I mean, I've done things a little bit differently. I mean, I've brought the subconscious to the conscious. You know, as humans, every day from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to sleep at night, our mind is going. And what I've done is I've chunked everything down into real layman's terms. So therefore, it's easy to apply, therefore easy to execute, therefore easy to make your own transformations happen. So that's pretty much how I've done it. I'm showing them what's happening in their mind from the moment they wake up there, and also the outside influences, you know, what we call live shock, the events that are happening all day, how to handle those. So the first three episodes are a real cognitive foundation to put you in charge of your mind from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you go to sleep at night. So therefore, that's how you build on your confidence and your self-esteem, and you start to get rid of those limiting beliefs, as well as conducting yourself as the best version of yourself, whatever it may look like for that child. And from the moment they meet us, we give, like, first episode is magic wand. If we gave you a magic wand, what would you change about yourself to be a better version of yourself? What feelings would you make go away? What behaviors would you stop doing? So straight away, we're putting them in charge to make those changes happen.
Do you find that children and young people are equipped, if you like, to talk about their thoughts and feelings? I've spoken to 1,000 adults, Nick, who wouldn't have a clue how to begin unpicking maybe some of the thoughts and feelings that they've got going on in their heads. But kids have got this sort of no filter sort of approach to life. They've not been sort of like brainwashed into not giving anything away. Do you find that that helps?
Yeah, and also for them to feel seen and heard, possibly for the first time. You know, we're showing them this way, and we've had kids go, that's what it is. Like an understanding of, okay, I can change this. I am in charge. I don't need to react like that. I mean, I was working with a little girl yesterday. She was only 5. And I said to her, what life shocks have you had? And a life shock is an event. She said, well, mummy told me I'm great. So in my mind, that's a super shock. That's a great thing. That puts us above the line. I said, okay, what did your parrot say? She said, parrot said, I'm not great. I'm horrible. And I was like, oh, God, Baba, like, you're 5. You're amazing. You know, so we're showing them the way straight away. Actually, you are amazing. And, you know, their journey begins. And for me, I wanted to do it from a young age because, like you say, they're like sponges, you know. I want to build them from a young age, and that as they go forth into adulthood, they're strong and they're well grounded and they're resilient and they believe in who they are and what they're capable of, which is uniqueness and amazingness.
Resilience is quite the buzzword, isn't it, at the moment? And I completely understand its reasons, but I also think that part of it excuses the rest of us to create a terrible world for people and go, well, if you can't cope, it's because you're not resilient enough. But at the same time, young people need that ability, don't they, to sort of face the world and to take it on. Kiki was like a practical example of maybe one of the exercises that you do that enhances a child's resilience or gets them to think about resilience in a different way. And maybe, just maybe, Nick, the people who are listening to this might actually do it themselves and maybe apply it themselves. Give us a practical example.
So episode 2 is all about the parrot and the fairy, the two voices in our head. Parrot doesn't want the best for us, fairy is our number one cheerleader. So, you know, something doesn't go our way, a life shock happens, which is an event, something that happens, and they're happening to us all day long. Something happens and we just have a drama, throw our toys out of our hand, give up, you know, I'm not good enough. Where the fairy said, yeah, you can, come on, let's go, let's do this, pick yourself up. Or, I don't know, like an example again yesterday, a little young lady went into the dinner hall and someone was sitting next to her best friend and she had an absolute meltdown. So I said, okay, parrot said, what? She was like, have the meltdown, cry, you know, it's not gone my way. I said, what did your fairy say? She was like, find someone else to sit next to. You know, it's the same. We always at Butterfly Squad get kissed and kids, I mean, I still teach it to adults now in exactly the same way, but like you say, they come with a much bigger bag to unload where kids, thankfully, for the most part, don't. So, you know, we say focus on the small stuff because getting amazing at resilience in the small stuff and choosing different is then when the big stuff happens, you're more equipped to think about it proactively. So therefore your choice and your reaction and how you're going to handle and deal with that.
When you're speaking to young people, does it often surprise you the extent to which maybe they're experiencing, you mentioned the word shocks there, but those life events are coming at them. We sometimes think that kids are so protected and so mollycoddled, but you only have to spend a little bit of time within particularly a school environment and you start to hear about issues maybe they've got at home, trauma that they've experienced, care issues that they've got and so on. Kids aren't ever very far from that world, are they?
No, not at all. And, you know, they bring... I mean, we do a lot of sharing within Butterfly Squad. So they learn to share in a safe environment. They learn, you know, to create rapport with each other, but also empathy for each other. And some things that they share, you know, will encourage other kids to go, yeah, like me too, you know. And again, straight away, it's out, let's work through it. You know, we work through everything and the stuff that happens to them doesn't define you, you know, it's not your story. You can write and create your own story. You know, I mean, one of our lessons is gratitude. But we have like chocolate poo, which is the lies and excuses we make to ourselves and others and, you know, other stuff that, you know, kids find hilarious, let's say. And when we did some data with the kids asking what their favourite episode was, boys, it was gratitude. And it blew my mind. I was like, why? Why is it gratitude for boys? You know, I really would have put money on it. It would have been chocolate poo or being my own hero or anything. It was a bit like, rah. But, you know, I think for them, it was more just, you know, that feeling of, I think they feel a lot of responsibility and a lot of, you know, not always okay to show your emotions or share your feelings and to be the man and go cry and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the point of that for me is what I'm saying to you. So I've gone a little bit off on a tangent. But it's to feel seen and to feel heard and just to have that foundation of just like who I am is amazing and how I feel is perfect in that current reality, in that moment, and arming them with all the tools and techniques to make changes, how they fit.
What do you think, Nick, is stopping young people from having that inbuilt thing? I mean, I noticed sort of like, well, everyone looks at other parents, don't they, and think, well, I wouldn't do things like that. Or everyone like looks at other people's circumstances and think, goodness me, they must be really struggling at the moment. And, you know, we either try and do our bit or we don't. But at the same time, young people are growing up in a different world to the world that we grew up in. Social media is a big part of that, whether you like it or not. But also that digital world that exists alongside the real life world. A digital world that also our parents are in constantly, you know, parents who are scrolling through their phones when they should be talking to their kids at the dinner table. There's all that stuff's kind of going on now, which I think creates a slightly different environment. My fear is that 15 or 20 years down the line, we've got a generation of people who have lost all form of communication skill and all sort of sense of sort of ability to sort of deal with real life because everything about their existence up to that point has been led by how fast you can scroll down a screen. And that really concerns me, but we've got to create that platform, haven't we, to give young people the ability to see their value within the real world.
Most definitely. I mean, the difference between Destiny's age and Hope's age is 9 years, and the difference to what they've had to contend with is mind-blowing. I mean, even like the WhatsApp group chats, you know, how bullying can... There's no cut-off, is there? You used to go to school, experience your dad's school, and then go home. Like there's no cut-off, like you say, everything is just constant technology. I mean, in our house, we are all about communication. I mean, Hope converses and communicates beautifully, overshares, if anything, sometimes. You know, she'll come to me and say, Mum, I need you to be my life coach, not my mum. And I'm like, okay, what's coming at me now? But communication is key. But then, you know, I mean, we've got an episode called Words Are Not For Hurting, and teachers have said, like, in the on playground duty, where they was constantly having to deal with she said, he said, or having to break things up, like they're either just stand there and drink their coffee, because it's taken away and eliminated a lot of that. So it's showing these kids, again, we're putting them in charge of themselves. And that's key. You know, they're spoke out a lot all day, you know, told when they can do X, Y, Z, then they're like in, you know, technology world. So we're trying to bring them out of that, not out of technology, because that's a massive thing to try and achieve, but waking them up constantly to what's going on around them externally as well as internally to hopefully make some of these changes.
Here's a tough question. Oh. It might not be a tough question. You might just be really good at answering it, but we'll find out. What would have happened to your daughter if she'd have just carried on the platform that she was on, the way that she was and the experience you were having with her? Have you imagined what she would be like as a 24-year-old, as a 35-year-old, going to uni, going for that first job interview, putting herself out in the world? How would that version of your daughter coped or not coped?
I think maybe she just would be walking a very different path. I mean, she wouldn't be doing the job that she's doing. I mean, she's an air hostess for Virgin now. And, you know, she loves her world and she travels all over the world, you know, technically on her own, because you don't always know your crew. She's a great communicator. She is very social, but she really does believe in herself. You know, she walks with her head held high and she knows who she is. That would not have been. And then Hope, who's the younger one, has grown up within Butterfly Squad. It's the only language that she's known growing up. And she has no limiting beliefs. Like, that girl just flies. Like, she fascinates me. So her off to uni, I have no concerns with her, apart from being able to possibly keep her living conditions tidy. I mean, that'll be interesting to see when I go and visit her, for sure. But yeah. I mean, Destiny would not be the young lady that she is today and living the life that she's leading without her learning these tools and techniques and implementing them in her life.
It's episode 17, isn't it? Tidy bed, tidy mind.
I watch Hope sometimes. Just I pop my head out my bedroom window and just see clones flying out the bedroom, not even hitting the wash basket, but she's obviously having a quick tidy up, in inverted commas. So yeah, quite fascinating, really. I'll be interested to see how she lives.
I've got a 9-year-old who will take things out, clean things out of a cupboard, not put them on the floor, and then when I'll go, can you tidy that stuff? She'll then pick that up, put it in the wash basket. Even wear that? What on earth is going on? No, so yeah. Let me ask you. So each of these 16 episodes that you've created from Butterfly Squad, and people can head to the website butterflysquad.rocks. It strikes me that they're each sort of a theme. Is each of those themes like a specific, almost like psychological sort of like theory, or is it something that you then take a psychological idea and then apply it to an environment, if you like, within the Butterfly Squad world?
So there's method in all of our madness with everything that we've done. Like, everything is formulated now, because I've kept them very short. We give them their tool or technique and then go. Go out into your world and use it. And every single one is another level to be a more powerful version of yourself. So the first three are foundational platform. They're your key. That's what's happening in our lives all day, every day. And then the rest are like battle tools, if you like, to fight your life shocks, fight your power, anything to elevate yourself. And then obviously we correlated ours with fitness, because the two combine beautifully together, and we called that the battleground. And all of the learnings from Butterfly Squad transition into the battleground. So there's always learning in there to be that better version of yourself and to build them up. We just want to build them up constantly.
And in terms of the environment in which to watch these, obviously kids, you know, we use YouTube things, they'll go watch one and then watch the next one and watch. Do you find that there's a benefit to actually discussing an episode with a child? You know, is there a benefit to it? You know, when you get like, the kids reading books down, there's always a little page at the end, like, now talk about this book with your child. Do you find that just takes you to a next level, that it's not just the entertainment and the thing that's happening on the screen? What did it mean? What would you do if that was happening to you? Is that an important part of the interaction, if you like, with the series?
Well, in the school side, we have shares. We have pauses for shares. But they're capped at like 2 minutes and they'll just share how they've used that tool, really. The beauty of Butterfly Squad is you literally do take a front row seat and watch kids get their wings to fly. Because we've brought the the subconscious to the conscious, kids just naturally start applying it. I mean, we've had parents write in, say how they're using it in their world, and that's without us ever meeting them or watching an episode. This was when I was teaching it in school, and a young boy's father had an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And every week the young boy was going home and telling his dad what he learned in Butterfly Squad that day. And the dad wrote in and said, like, I started to put that work into my own world. And now he doesn't drink anymore. So, you know, that is the beauty of Butterfly Squad. I mean, Hope's friends, we've never sat them down and watched any episodes with them, but they've now started to use the work in their world just because it's our language at home. So yes, sharing, amazing, because obviously it's communication. But it's not an absolute must. I mean, we have just written a book for 4 to 5 year olds. That'll be finished. That's nearly finished now. So that is going to, like you say, with the notes in there to talk with their mum and dad, there's that in there most definitely.
Well, people's minds are at ease who feel like the potential to hear about this and think you're almost, that it's too much, that you feel like you're almost brainwashing your child to have a certain mindset. It's got to be natural, hasn't it? It's got to be a normal messaging that a child understands. You're not sitting your child down and sort of psychoanalyzing them at every single step of the way. It's got to be normal, hasn't it? Otherwise, it will feel not normal and then people won't want to do it.
Exactly. And it is completely normal. I mean, that's why I've done it in layman's terms. And we'll say episode one, if you never want to get in trouble again, don't have to. We'll just show you how. Anything you want to make happen, we will show you how. We're going to make you into a powerful ninja of your own mind. So straight away, they're like, well, how? Show me how. So we never give demands, need to, have to, must, should. There's no demands in Butterfly Squad. Everything's about choice. We always say, what's your power word? They go, choose. What's your power word? Choose. We straight away put them in charge of choice. So yeah, we don't do that.
You've been on this journey for sort of 14 years, and obviously the work that obviously got into life before then. Give us a sense of the scale of how many episodes have been viewed, how many kids have you been in front of, like what? So how many numbers have you been across, do you think?
Oh God, thousands when I was boots on ground, going all over the UK and teaching it. We only launched in mid-December, the campaign, No Kid Left Behind. We've already had, I think we're into our 5,000-6,000 parents signing up. Each one on a stack comes with 1.5 children, let's say. So we've got a lot, and we've gone global. So we've got children all over the world watching them now. And, you know, we've got parents writing in saying, you know, we had one lady message us the other day. She said she was just watching her children play, and she heard them say, don't choose your parrot, choose your fairy. Brilliant. You know, this stuff makes me really, really happy. So yeah, we've got big plans with Butterfly Squad. Very big plans.
Just tell us about the hashtag No Kid Left Behind. Just give us a sense of that. I kind of touched on it before when I was asking you about your daughter and the journey that she would have been on. Do you feel like almost a sense of mission around this, that children potentially are being left behind, that children, you know, will grow up into a world where they don't have this skill set, and where they'll feel the impact of not having this skill set? And obviously, it strikes me that your mission is to just get every kid on board so that every child has the ability to sort of make those decisions. And with that, hopefully then develop things like healthier relationships, better choices about where they choose to live and who they choose to be with, making decisions based on ambition rather than fear and so on and so forth. There will be children left behind because of the nature of sort of how society is at the moment. But that's obviously your mission, to try and get as many young people as possible on board.
Most definitely. I mean, I just see so much pain. You know, the amount of friends that Hope brings through the door still now, you know, that they're in pain. And I just have this thing, you don't need to be in pain. I can show you how. So that's my mission. I've walked pain. I felt pain. I know pain, and I've watched Destiny, my eldest. She was in pain. That was painful for me to watch her in pain. And then I have Hope, who's Butterfly Squad, and I'm just like, that, I can give you all that. and starting them from a young age, like I say, is just brilliant because, like I say, like the five-year-old yesterday, you don't need to feel like that about yourself. You know, when we put on the board, like things that their parent says to them, it's evil and they're young. Like, to the point where that someone shared, die, my parent says, die. Like, no. You know, you are amazing. I'm going to show you how amazing you are. You're going to know how amazing you are. And you're going to walk that walk of knowing that, like you say, so that when it comes to finding their no, you know, like when they're getting off the things when they're older, no, I'm not doing that. No, thank you. I'm not participating in that. Or, you know, being codependent in relationships or putting up with behaviours because you don't have self-worth, how others are treating you. You don't need to go through that. And I can show you how.
I was going to say, because I think that's the crucial thing, isn't it? Can you create enough of a, it's not about creating, you know, changing a person. It's creating enough of a spark within them. So that if they then go back into that environment where there's an abusive sort of element at home, or there's the sort of language that you've talked about there at home, you could understand why a child would think, well, this is home life, so therefore this must be real life, and this must be what life is really like. But you must feel incredibly passionate about the idea that if you create that, like that little fire in that young head, that even if they don't realize it when they're 12, when they're 7, when they're 12, when they're 4, when they get to 17, they'll go, actually, I remember that thing that gives them that ability to make that better decision and to know that those things that they've experienced weren't right.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. I mean, if I'd had this, I wish I'd had this when I was young. I would not have walked the paths that I walked. I wouldn't have made the choices that I made, most definitely. And for me, as much as it was born and derived from destiny being how she was, that's why I'm so passionate about it, because you don't need to grow up feeling that way about yourself. You know, whether it just be shy, you know, some kids are so shy and then they'll find their voice for the first time. Be, hello, welcome. You know, that can be massive and monumental for their life moving forward. Just shy. You know, that's without having lots of things that have happened that have really attacked your self-worth and given you limiting beliefs and stuff like that. Just, we always go small, because that small stuff, like you say, when they get to being an adult, impact that big stuff for them to make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, and it's worth making the point, isn't it, that although we talk about this from a mental health point of view, and that children often are victims of their circumstances, there does come a point, doesn't it, where their lived experience turns into adult decisions. And actually, that's when adults start making wrong decisions that actually might lead to their own abusive relationships that might really, where they're the perpetrators, because actually they've become normalized. And that's, for me, that's really what's at stake with all of this, is that if you don't engage with the children at a young age and show them essentially what is right from wrong, but also what's right from wrong for them, that they naturally just move into that adult life. And then that becomes the cycle of, well, what do they say to their kids? Do they say die to their kids? Well, yeah, because that's what they said. That's what said to them. Well, I had it, so that was okay for me.
You shall pain out, right? So obviously if you're in pain internally, it comes out externally in behaviour and words. So without you even really realising what you're doing sometimes, you know, so when we push our fears onto our kids, you know, and I did that with Destiny. I was really, really scared of spiders and I made her scared of spiders. It's like the most simple thing, where Hope puts spiders, like plastic ones, in my bed, in the fridge, because she finds it so funny, because she's not scared. I made sure that I didn't transfer any of that kind of stuff onto her, because I had walked my walk and I had learned myself then. But with Destiny, I was learning with her. So yeah, exactly. We push it all out onto our kids.
There was the story. I was teaching my daughter about activism. So I was teaching her about activism. I was telling her what activism is, but I was trying to look for examples of it where things that happened and then something happened as a result. And there was a great one last week, and it was the WASPI women, who were the women who basically were told that they could retire when they got to 60, and then they changed the rules and they turned out they couldn't. So some of them had to work longer and made plans, changed their lives and everything as a result. And there were the WASPI women who dressed as the suffragettes, and they were singing outside the town hall. This was years ago. We stopped, we were listening to them sing, and we applauded and explained to them about, they want this to happen, and what's happened to them is this. So they're saying this, and it might take a month, it might take a year. And just in the news last week, it was announced that the government were going to have to offer them compensation and that sort of stuff. And I sat down and I said, do you remember when we saw those people singing? And it was years and years ago, and we clapped. But what they were doing was X, Y, or Z. She was like, yeah, yeah. I said, well, they wouldn't. I use the phrase embracing persistence, because it's that thing of like, sometimes life is just the next day. Being active within the world around you, it then responds back to mm-hmm. you, and you feel the connections with it as well. And I've noticed the real change in my daughter now with things like that, because she talks about wanting to be an activist, but also wanting to be, you know, a teacher at the same time, because she's thinking, well, that's like the job, but then you can do this other stuff on the side.
She sounds incredible. So yeah, congratulations to you. I always use the term self-gratification, you know, how quick you want something. And that's our hero episode. Sometimes you can make things happen really quickly, and other times you have to really graft and grind for it to make it happen. Kids want instant gratification, don't they? You know, that's just part of the social media world and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's one of our teachings. And again, like you say, it might not happen today, but I put it out there enough and I start walking that walk and being that, being my own hero, being those qualities can make happen whatever I want to make happen.
We started doing it this week with seeds. We started planting seeds. And of course, in the social media world, right, you want the next episode, you press play, don't you? Press play, the next episode starts. And when that one ends, the next episode after that starts, and it never, ever stops. We planted seeds, right, last Wednesday, and they went out on the windowsill, and we watered them, and we waited. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Then nothing happened. Then nothing happened. Then nothing happened. And something happened. And the kids' faces at the moment at which something happens, like, there's one that's come. The next day, something else comes through. And now there's a windowsill full of these little pots. And it's that thing where they're seeing now that... Mm-hmm. And then somewhere there's nothing growing. Right, well, should we plant some more? See if maybe it was the seeds. Maybe we didn't water it enough. Maybe we watered it too much. So let's water these a bit less maybe, or let's water these a little bit more. What lesson can we learn from what's just happened there? Now there's this windowsill that's full of stuff. And every day they go, have you seen how big this one is now? And for me, that's a big part of like gardening, I think, is a great example for it, because it's delayed gratification. But at the same time, at every stage you're putting in the work, you're assessing. Is there enough water? Yeah. Is there enough sunlight? Is there enough heat? Yeah, I think we're in a good place. Right, sit back up. And it's okay to then sit back and do absolutely nothing. For me, that's one of those lessons which I'm trying to teach my kids, that you've got to put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work, try and work out what went wrong. If you need to chuck the whole thing out and start over with something new, that's also fine. But also, if you do create something, how are you going to nurture it? How are you going to move it on?
Most definitely. I mean, we've just partnered with a CrossFit legend, Patrick Belknap, and he's about to bring like the whole fitness side into play for all of the kids. I mean, we've got some great stuff about to start happening with him. But, you know, we see something and we think, I want that. I want to do that. I want to be like that. But don't realize the walk and the path and the absolute pure pain that sometimes you will be in to achieve that thing. So I'm looking forward to bringing that whole side to Butterfly Squad.
Let's point people in the direction of the website. You go butterflysquad.rocks. You can also head to social media as well at Butterfly Squad Rocks. You can find out more information about the 16-part animated series, which is available now via the website. And if you just Google it, it basically comes up. So you can do that. But head to the website first. Nicole, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely to meet you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. SHOUT to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.